You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
What a joy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. This morning, we're going to preach on the discipline of the Lord's Day. The discipline of the Lord's Day. You ever had this thought? I'm tired of being tired. Amen? Come on, anybody? I'm tired of being tired. We are truly living in a 24/7 society. Man, there was a time you actually had to plan your day because places would actually close for business. Not anymore. We are a 24/7 society. Many of us feel like we can't even slow down, much less take a break, because of the fast-paced society that we're living in. And yet this morning, we're going to learn about a discipline that's actually going to teach us that before we go, we stop. Before there can be a release, there must be restraint. Before there is to be work, there should be rest. I remember when I was teaching my sister how to drive a car. We had a Datsun. Yeah, we had a foreign car before foreign cars were cool, if you know what I mean. It was literally a tin can with an engine in it. And we lived on Highway 94 on top of a big hill right above Brown's Grocery, and we're sitting on top of that hill. I'm in the passenger seat. My sister's in the steering seat. I don't know if she remembers this or not, the driver's seat. But I'm not thinking about how fast she can go. I'm worried about how fast she can stop. So before I ever point out to her the accelerator, I point out to her the brake. I want her to know the most important thing in learning to drive is how to stop. Guys, I got to be honest with you. I got to confess. God's taught me a lot as I've been reviewing the fundamentals. And perhaps we have neglected one of the most important disciplines of the Christian life. And that's the discipline of the Lord's Day. The discipline of resting in Christ on a particular day of the week. If you have your Bibles, would you stand with me as we begin this morning to talk about, are you tired of being tired? This is not going to be a sermon. It's just going to be a conversation. We're just going to talk with each other this morning. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Did everybody hear that? How many times have you not been in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? As a matter of fact, to be honest, by gauging our worship a while ago, I don't know if any of us was in the Spirit. Man, if it's just not familiar, we just rebel. We just watch. And yet John says, I was in the Spirit, not in the flesh. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Let's pray. Father, well, remind me this is just a conversation. From you through me to our congregation. As we rethink about a discipline that's unlike any of the other disciplines, because it's a discipline for us to you, according to the Bible. And Father, we want to know more about it. Man, we want to leave here and we want to evaluate this conversation. And we want to think of ways that we, as the spiritual heads of our home, can implement this discipline in our family's life, and how we as pastoral staff can implement this discipline in our church's life. And Father, may it start with me as a pastor. In your son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I think everyone here will agree that when John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day," he's talking about Sunday, the first day of the week, the day that the church set aside for the public assembling of the church to worship God. All of the early church historians, church fathers, like Irenaeus, Ignatius, they make a distinction in their writing that when the Sabbath stopped and the Lord's day started, being the first day of the week. So please understand, when we talk about the Lord's day, we're talking about the first day of each week, being a day that's set aside by God as Jesus' day. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The discipline of practicing the discipline of the Lord's day. See, in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, the Bible says on the first day of the week, the church met to break bread. Paul preached a sermon. The sermon got so long that there was a guy up in the third floor that went to sleep, fell out of the window dead. Whoa, it's why we don't have a balcony here at Hardin. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and reminded them that on the first day of the week, each one was to set aside something and store it up so that when he come, they wouldn't have to take up a collection for the saints who are in need. The first day of each week to the early church was important because it was called the Lord's Day. I think you and I know why it was called the Lord's Day. It's called the Lord's Day because it was on the first day of the week that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Amen. I mean, on Friday, he died. On the Sabbath, he rested in death. And on the first day of the week, he got up. And that day has never been the same in the history of the church. It's now a celebration day that we call the Lord's Day. Here's what I want us to try to do this morning. This morning, I want us to go back and think about how this day has been set aside by God as a discipline. But to be totally honest with you, when we study our New Testament, the New Testament just doesn't talk a lot about the Lord's Day. It doesn't mention a lot the first day of the week. But here's what we know. We know that the Lord's Day was patterned a whole lot after God's day in the Old Testament. So if you don't mind, what we're going to do is we're going to go back and just review for all of us who have forgotten about God's day, his holy day, his blessed day in the Old Testament. And of course, that's the Sabbath. And what we're going to discover in our Old Testament is that there's a creation rest, because that's what the word Sabbath means. It means to cease. It means to rest. We're going to discover that there's a wilderness rest. We're going to discover that there's a Canaan rest. And then what we're going to learn in the New Testament is that these Sabbaths are actually a shadow of things to come, and the substance is Christ. And so what this is teaching us is that these Sabbaths in the Old Testament, the creation rest, the wilderness rest, and the Canaan rest, ultimately point to the salvation rest that we have in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So what we're going to discover is that the discipline of the Lord's Day is actually patterned after the salvation rest that you and I have in Jesus Christ. And that it's an important day in our life. Just like that time of prayer, that time of sharing our faith, that time of studying the Bible, that time of fasting. The discipline of the Lord's Day is vital to the Christian life. The reason so many of us are tired of being tired is because we're wore out. The reason we're wore out is because many of us have forgotten how to practice the discipline of the Lord's Day. If I'm being totally honest with you, this thing's gotten out of hand. Totally out of hand. I'm not going to preach to you this morning. I just want to talk to you. If you don't mind, let's take our Bibles and open to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, first three verses says this: thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. You got the picture, right? God creates. And then when creation is finished, Genesis takes the framework and says this, Moses does. On the seventh day, God declared that creation was finished. It's done. And so on the seventh day, which is Saturday, you know what he did? He rested. But he did something more than rest. He blessed the seventh day because creation was finished. And he made it holy. Don't you get this picture? God's finished. Creation's over. And God's resting. He's ceasing from his work of making the heavens and the earth. And this is the seventh day. So you know what he does? He blesses that seventh day. To bless means to adore. It means to salute. It means to take special notice of. Did everybody hear that? I mean, day one, it was good. Day two, it was good. Day three, it was good. Day four, it was good. Day five, it was good. Day six, it was very good. Day seven, special. God adored the day because his work is finished and he's resting. And here's what he did. This day that he blessed, he made it holy. Now the word holy means to be set apart. It means to be separate. It means apartness. It means to be different. It means to be unique. It means to be in a class all by itself. It means to be one of a kind. Did everybody hear that? According to Moses in the creation account, God made the seventh day different from all the other days. Why? Because he rested from his work on this day. And now this day, the seventh day, the day of rest, is in a class all by itself. And then we don't hear anything else about the Sabbath day until Exodus chapter 16. Now, when we're in Exodus chapter 16, beginning in verse 22, you remember this story. Children of Israel have come out of Egypt. We're going to talk about this as we study Exodus, but I want to give you just a light touch of this. They start complaining about the food. So you remember what God does. God says, okay, in the evening I'm going to give you meat. In the morning I'm going to give you bread. All you got to do is go out and get it. Just gather it up. But he said on the sixth day, I want you to trust me. Now he's done told Moses, the reason I'm doing this is to test them to see if they'll walk in his ways. And he says, on the sixth day, I want you to gather twice as much. Now on the first 5 days, you just gather enough for the day. And here's what happened. If someone gathered too much, it disappeared. If somebody gathered too little, it was enough for the entire day. So you got this principle going on. On the first day, on the second day, on the third day, the fourth day, and the fifth day, you just had enough to get through the day. If you gathered too much, it was going to spoil. Now God's telling them on the sixth day to gather twice as much. Because on the seventh day, you're not going to gather. You're going to quit working. You're going to rest, and you're going to trust in me. And you remember the story. Some of them didn't trust. Some of them went out the next morning looking, and there was nothing there. Remember that? But here's what the miracle was. All of that food that you gathered up on the sixth day, which would have been Friday, guess what? There was enough for Saturday, the seventh day. See, the first day of the week is Sunday. Last day of the week is Saturday. If you don't believe me, just pull out your iPhone. Calendar starts with Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Get this picture? On Friday, day six, they gather twice as much. On the seventh day, you know what they do? They rest. Can you imagine that? Your family has been a slave to the Egyptians. You've worked day and night because of your God. Things got worse, and now you're going to a promised land, and for the first time, what you did on the sixth day is enough. No more labor involved. No more gathering involved. On this day, you just rest. Wow. You get the point here, don't you? You do understand the trust that was involved on the sixth day? In getting ready for the seventh day? That you're going to trust in your ability to gather, but you're just going to trust in his ability to provide and maintain and sustain what he's already given you. It'll last you. So here's what you can do. Whew. Just take the day off. Just rest. Just enjoy being fed by God. No work of your hand. What a picture. Now they get to Mount Sinai, and in Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 31, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and in Isaiah chapter 58, there's four passages that deals with not creation rest, not wilderness rest, but Canaan rest. See, when they get to Mount Sinai, God's now getting his people that he's redeemed out of Egypt. He's getting them ready to go into the promised land and live as a redeemed people. And so when he's given him those 10 commandments, the fourth commandment has to do with the seventh day being a day of rest. We don't have time, but if you'll study Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, Exodus 31, 12 through 17. Deuteronomy chapter 5, 12 through 15, and Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. Here's what a summary is. When the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, he wanted them to have a day set apart, and that day that was set apart was going to be different from all the other days that they would live in the land, and this special day was going to be a sign that they were his covenant people. They would know it, and all the people around them would know he was their God and they were his people. So the first thing he tells them in the Ten Commandments is to remember the Sabbath. Now, what's that a reference to? It's a reference back to the wilderness wandering. Hey, remember that day when you rested, the seventh day. He said, I want you to observe that day. I want you to keep that day holy. I want you to keep that day set apart. I want you to keep that day in a class all by itself. I want you to make that a different day. I want you to make that a unique day. I don't want that to be like the other 6 days of the week where you work on this day. I don't want you to work. As a matter of fact, I don't even let your family work. I don't want you to let your servants work. And I don't even want you to let your animals work. Because I want you to know that I have set you apart. I have made you different. And so that you'll know you're different from all the nations around you, I want you to keep this one day that's different in your life. And as you honor this day that's different in your life and realize who you are is based not on your work but my work, and where you are is not based on your work but my work, then you'll realize that you have been set apart from the people with whom you're going to live in this region of the world. He says, I don't want you to forget. I want you to remember that you used to be a slave. But you're now free because of my mighty outstretched arm. And he says, the reason we're setting this day apart is because when I created the world, when I finished, I rested. Wow. Isaiah chapter 58, God says, remember we looked at that passage last week because it's about fasting, but it ends in the Lord's day. He says, if you'll just turn back your foot from the Sabbath and quit doing your own pleasure on my holy day. Whoa. Did everybody hear that? God says, if you'll just change your ways, if you'll just change your attitude about my day, when you change your attitude and your actions about my day, it's going to change your altitude, because once you get back to establishing this day in your life as it was meant to be practiced, he says, I'm going to cause you to just live on the heights of the world, and I'm going to give you the heritage of your father, Jacob. See, for the children of Israel, this was a day when you quit doing what you normally did, and that's work. God wanted there to be a day when you quit focusing on your work as an Israelite and focused on his work. Therefore, this would be a day of worship, it would be a day of witness, and it would be a day of great worth. It'd be a day where the children of Israel came together to worship God, the living God, who was responsible for their freedom, who was responsible for them being who they were and where they were in the promised land. But this day was supposed to be a day of witness. A day when the pagan nations looked and went, man, I don't know how them farmers do it. On the high in the world, you can tend to your crop 6 days a week and then, whoa, not do anything on the seventh day. Man, how do you take care of those sheep and goats 6 days and then on the seventh day? You just quit working. You just stop. You do know the world doesn't understand the discipline of a day of rest, right? You guys know that Sleece and I have a small herd of Angus cattle, and we show some of those calves on various levels. A few years ago, there was a young guy on our farm who was one of the best fitters, clippers of show cattle probably in the nation. And he was on our farm clipping the show animals. And he made a comment about a family that we know who's been to this church that lives just this side of Bowling Green. They raise Simmental cattle. We raise Angus, they raise Simmental. And listen, they raise some of the best Simmental in the nation. They have won national grand championships. And as the conversation came about, talking about various things, Ramsey made this comment to Salisa. I don't understand how they do it. See, you got to understand that show cattle is a 24/7 thing. And Ramsey made this observation about this Christian family. Don't understand how they do it. On Sunday, they leave the cattle out in the field. If it's 100 degrees in July, they do not bring them in and put them under the fence. They don't put them under the water. They don't do all those things you're supposed to do. See, Ramsey worked for that family. The family not only had discipline on the Lord's Day, because he worked for them, they wouldn't let him work either. And you know what amazed him? Was how they could do it this way and still win national championships. Tell me how Chick-fil-A does it. In 2010, on a per restaurant basis, just open 6 days a week, they did $2.7 million worth of business, and McDonald's did 2.4 on one day less. Truett Cathy said the best business decision he ever made in his life was to close on Sunday. See, this day is not just a day of worship. It's not just a day of witness, but it's a day of worth. Here's what God said to Israel. Man, when you make this day different than all the other days, here's what I want you to know. You're different. Have you ever noticed this? That when your days just all run together, pretty soon you just feel like you're just like everybody else. Amen? Why? Because we've been silent in the churches about the Lord's Day as a discipline. We've taken our freedom in Christ, and to avoid being legalistic as the Jews were and the Pharisees were, we have just let this day become another day like every other day. And yet God's intentions with Israel in the creation rest and the wilderness rest and the Canaan rest ultimately was to say these things are just shadows. These things are just pointing to something greater. And in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, the Bible unveils how there is a rest that a person can enter where he ceases from his works and he trusts in what God did with his son on a cross. And you enter that rest once and for all because it's based on the finished work of Christ. And see, when you go back and you look at these rests in the Old Testament, the God who was creator is also the God who was redeemer. And so what the Bible is going to teach us in the New Testament is that not only did God finish creation, God finished redemption. Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." Do you understand what happened that day? They took him off that cross and put him in that Palestinian tomb. And then on the first day of the week, God raised him from the dead. The resurrection gave validity to the death. Everything that he said about himself was proved to be true when he got up that day and conquered death, thus finishing God's redemption from you and I, so that we don't trust in any work of ourselves, but we totally trust in the finished work of Christ. Therefore, Yeah, remember Jesus said, hey, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. Remember he taught in that Sabbath controversy in Mark and Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel that man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. Now you got to understand this. The word Sabbath is a tensified noun that comes from the root to cease from work, to stop. It's the word for rest. And here's what I propose to you. The early church took the principles, not the legalism, but the principles of Christ. And they still practiced a day that was different from all the other days. And it's called the Lord's Day. And I want to close this way. I got 3 minutes and 48 seconds. You ready? If we're going to practice this discipline, we need a day to prepare. And I suggest we take the seventh day and prepare for the first day. Amen? You with me? Starting next Saturday. After we've prayed all week, we've taken a day to fast, we're getting ready to start Exodus, so we're going to hear this all again. I propose this. If we as a church and as we as Christians are going to practice the discipline of the Lord's Day, we got to have a day to prepare, just like Israel did. And here's what I suggest. On Saturday, you get done everything that needs to be done that can't wait till Monday. You say, but hold it, brother, that's my problem. I can't get everything done in 6 days. That's your problem. You really don't have a first day of the week problem. You don't have a Sunday problem. You have a Monday through Saturday problem. That makes sense? If you misuse the 6 days God given you to work, you'll abuse his day of rest. So if you cannot practice the discipline of the Lord's day, you're probably doing too much during your 6 days of work. Or you're doing too little on your 6 days of work. Now, this is just a conversation. Would you think about that? See, the first day of the week really lets us know that our life's out of priority. Our ox isn't falling in the ditch and our sheep aren't falling in the ditch. We're putting the sheep in the ditch. We're putting the ox in the ditch. Now, once I start on Saturday preparing for my first day of the week, see, I'm ending the work week. You catch that, right? I'm ending the week of work. And I'm getting ready to begin another week. So here's what the Bible teaches. I got to stop. Before I go, I got to stop my work and focus on his work. And when I stop my work and focus on his work, it gets me ready for my work the rest of the week. Y'all don't act like this is good. So here's why I do in preparation. Isaiah 58 says, if I change my attitude about God's day, which I'm now applying to the Lord's Day, here's what will happen. Y'all ready for this? It'll be a day of delight. Sunday will be a day of delight. It'll actually be a day that I look forward to. It'll actually be a day that I can't wait for it to get here. Why? Because it's going to be a day that's different from all of my other days. It's going to be a day that's going to be in a class all by itself. It's not going to be like my 6 days previous. It's going to be different, and it's going to start a brand new week. How many of you look at the Lord's Day that way? Oh, here's the mistake. We give the Lord an hour. Amen? I've seen some of you get here at 9:15, and I promise you, if I put my stopwatch on, within a minute and 30 seconds, you're already in the car leaving the parking lot. Any of you notice how attendance didn't go up when we changed the service from an hour to 70 minutes? What? You're adding 10 minutes? Like it's my day? No, it's his day. It's not his morning. It's not his afternoon. It's not his evening. It's his day. See, what I'm talking about is us changing from living in a 24/7 society, and we live in a 16:18/6 society and a 24/1 day. And boy, that one day, I can't wait till it gets here, because it's in a class all by itself, because it's his day. It's not my day. When our first grandchild came along, I had to repent of all the things I said about grandparents. I used to say I didn't think grandparents loved their children because of how crazy they acted over grandchildren. And then I got one. Mimish got one. Now, when he was all by himself and it was just him before his brothers and now his sister, Katie and Corey were so gracious to let us have him usually on Friday. And we got a little nickname for Friday. Friday is Cry Day. When Crider comes on Friday, it's all about Crider. Because it's Crider's day. As a matter of fact, Crider caught on to Cry Day. And from time to time, when we would try to do our ordinary everyday things, Crider would remind us, it's Cry Day. What Crider was telling us was, all of a sudden, Crider's feeling like this day is no longer about him, but this day is looking like every other day we have in our life. What would happen if we really believed the Lord's day was Sunday? If we polled America, how many of you believe Sunday would be called the Lord's Day? I do not believe it would get the majority vote. Sunday is, pro football day. It's golf day. Amen? We don't think a thing about cranking the weed eater. We don't think a thing about running the lawnmower. We don't think a thing about washing our car. We don't think a thing about leaving church and immersing ourselves for the rest of the day in sports and recreation and pleasure. I mean, we can just be honest. Jesus is lucky we're giving him an hour, hour and a half on Sunday morning out of our day. Now, this is just a conversation. What's happened? What's happened? I'm not asking what's happened in America. I'm asking what's happened in the church. I mean, really, Sunday's about the kids, right? By the time most of us get home from where all we've been, when the alarm clock goes off on Monday, we don't have the energy for the day because we don't practice the discipline of the Lord's day. It's not a day of rest. It's not a day of refreshing. It's not a day about enjoying his presence. It's not a day about enjoying his provision. It's not a day about enjoying his people. It's just another day, and we just happen to squeeze church in. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being tired. What I'm suggesting this morning is that we put the discipline of the Lord's day where it's supposed to be. You say, Brother Keith, no, I'm not telling you what you can't do, and I'm not telling you what you're supposed to do. I'm just telling you this. You just apply these principles to that day and see what happens. See if God doesn't elevate you. See if he doesn't get you from living down here and get you living up here. And the next thing you know, it's a day of worship. The next thing you know, it's a day of witness. The next day. Thing you know, it's a day of work. You suddenly realize, whoa, I'm different. See, that's what this day's about. It's about you and I realizing we're different. Therefore, let's make this day different. Would you start in your family? I'm going to try to start in mine. Father, thank you for this time with your people. In your precious son's name, we thank you for reminding us of the discipline of the Lord's day. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.